Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and it is a gorgeous Saturday morning, October the 29th, 2011, and I am more than honored and grateful to be with you as we take a look at some very powerful questions that have been asked. People always have something interesting on their minds. Sometimes we're picking things apart that we shouldn't be, but we do it anyway, but can I say, it is what it is with people, and I just try to be of service to you by offering some insight into some things. If you like it, you want to know a little more about it, please come to my website at aspire.org. That's aspire.org. It'll tell you a little bit more about it. Go look at About Aspire. That'll tell you a little bit about what I'm doing, who I am, what I am, and maybe I can be of help to you. It is Halloween weekend, as it were. I have a wonderful new commentary for you on Halloween. And if you go to the website at aspire.org and take the time to go to media, if you click on it, you will see biweekly commentary. And if you just click on that, you'll see a little opening I've made, my commentary this week. I do it every other week, something I try to offer to the public, my students, to help you understand a spiritual practice, what it's all about, where it goes, what happens with it, that kind of thing. And maybe I will be of service to you in that way. Go take a look at the commentary. And there's a podcast and a video cast there. It's all free. And I want you to enjoy it. And maybe it will help in some way. You never know. You just never know. All right, let's get to the question for the week. Why are we here, asks Lewis from Santa Cruz. My mind churns on this all the time. Is there any real meaning to this life? What are we doing? Lewis, you know, when you come to, this is a great question. First of all, I want to thank you for the beautiful question. I also want to thank you for listening. I also want to thank you for your order of the sound of one hand clapping, and I hope that you enjoy it. You ask why we are here. This is an interesting question that goes nowhere, and yet it is absolutely important. The reason I say goes nowhere is this. Lewis, there is nothing I or anyone else could really tell you that would satisfy you or give you the ultimate truth of the situation. We are all in a situation here. We are all in this thing called the meaning of our life. This meaning is kind of perpendicular to life itself. This meaning is not something that the mind can grasp and say, oh, there's the meaning. Oh, there it is. Oh, this is how it works. This is why I'm here. Finally, I figured it out. Or finally, somebody has told me and I accept it. And this is the way it is. This isn't the way. That isn't the way. None of that is how it works. Anything, Lewis, that appeals to my mind, that my intellect can grasp or get a hold of or seem to make real, is pure blarney. It is garbage. It isn't real. So when you ask the question, why are we here? It is a great question, because if you pursue it with any kind of compassion or love, if you pursue it with the rest of your life, it will bring you to some very interesting experiences. Most people are just living it out, trying to eat, drink, and be merry before they croak. And that's as far as it goes with them. But if you take this question, why are we here, and start to see it for what it is, that it can't be answered in the mind, through the emotions, through the intellect, through the usual way in which we operate logically and with our reasoning, then you will be forced, if you really want to know the answer, to go to meditation. And even there, you're going to find not concrete thoughts and ideas about life is this and not that. This is what it's about. This is not what it's about. You say your mind churns on the meaning of this, trying to find some meaning. Well, why? Why churn on it? Why try to think it? Thinking doesn't make everything so. Thinking is only my mind's opinion about anything. My mind has an opinion about everything. And it doesn't mean it's true. It just means that is my Gregory mind telling you what it thinks. Who gives a rusty flying leap? Who cares? What is really important is that the whole beautiful thing called our life cannot be thought. It cannot be taught. It has to be caught. You have to catch it from within yourself. You have to come to a place where you can feel it very profoundly, very deeply. And then move with it. Live in it. Have a sense of consciousness through it. To tell you why we are here would do you damage. It wouldn't help you. And to be honest with you, Luis, it's a moot question because it's subject to speculation of the mind. And if I tell you that we are here to achieve love, or we are here to fall in love, or we are here to recognize love, or we are here for 100 million different reasons other than the authentic one that lives within us, I just give you more BS for you to have to think about, work on, and then forget. Let me do something different. Let me say this to you. If you can live to let go of your thoughts and the accumulation of thinking, which to me is the compost of my ego, if you can just let it go, just let go of every thought as having some kind of meaning that we think will make us happy or give us life or give us meaning or give us something. If we can just let it go. If I can go and just decrease rather than seeking mentally and emotionally to increase, then I have achieved something magnificent. Then something beautiful can arise out of that. You ask me, what is the point of it all? The point is not to find the point. The point is not a point that the mind can generate understanding about. This whole thing is about coming to consciousness through awareness, period. Now, that doesn't sound exciting. It doesn't sound like it's something that would benefit you in any way if you look at what I'm saying. You can take it 1,000 different ways, but the only way to really take it is to understand it, not through the mind, not through the body, not through the intellect, not through the ego, but to understand it through living, to put yourself in a posture where you can have direct experience about what it means to live your life. Everything is very significant here, and everything is in an ebb and a flow. This ebb and flow is going on all the time. To catch the wave of the flow of it, to be able to hear the flow of it, and to resonate to the tones of life will bring you to a place you have never been before, and maybe you don't want to be, or maybe you don't care to be, or maybe it's just not significant to you. But to stay in the ebb and flow of it all, to move into the beauty of it, not to allow the mind to circumvent it by giving you some kind of cause or reason or projection. This is the way. And you will find that it isn't life as I thought it was. It isn't life like I believed it would be. There's more to this living than anything you might ever know. And yet, most of us just don't go there. We just do not care to go there. Because because we believe that the whole thing of life is about staying alive as long as you possibly can, having all the things you want, getting the things that you think will make you happy, and that's about as far as it goes. And that's why we have such difficulty. We have difficulty because we're so ingrained in the idea that life means something when we have, like, people to love us, things to give us some kind of joy, or gratification is really big to people. Gratification is huge to people. And so they think that that's really what it's all about, and yada-da-yada-da. And it just goes on and on and on. My dear friend, just let life live you. Don't be fooled by the manner of what's going on in and of the world. Just don't be fooled by it. Look at life from the point of view of compassion. Look at life from the point of not trying to understand it through mind, but experience it. Let it have its way with you. Let love live you, and then you will have something magnificent. Lewis, thank you for your beautiful question. Forgive me for rambling on here, eh? Namaste. You know, I think a lot of people are looking for, you know, what is it all about kind of thing. Sad part is that most people, even when they're literally confronted by it, just don't get it. Next one comes from Frances, and she lives in Los Angeles, listens to us here on our radio program via the website at aspire.org. You can go there, and if you go to radio under media, you'll be able to hear all of my previous programs and even future programs. Does God really have a plan for us, Frances says? If so, do you see it? God is a madman. He doesn't know what the heck he's doing. It's Halloween. Let's have some fun. No, God doesn't have a plan. You know, this just destroys so many. And they go, oh, God, that man, Greg Penny's out of his mind. God has a plan for everyone. What would make you think you're that special? What do you mean? Why would God, in all logic and reasoning, based on the assumption that we are his image and likeness, as the Bible tells us so, why would he create a bunch of idiots like us that do nothing but fight and kill each other? And then he destroys us, and then he remakes us, and then we act out again in terrible ways, and then he sends his only begotten son, and he has to kill him for us, and look how we've turned out. And it's been a real mess. And I think, you know, everybody wants to think there's a purpose for all this. There isn't. Francis, what you think of as God, as an almighty God that is above you, isn't true. Now, this is what religion has taught you. I understand that. But you must understand, God is not what you believe God to be. What you've been taught that comforts your ego, your vanity, your pride, that comforts your body and mind and makes you feel like, well, you know, no matter what, God has a plan for me and he's looking over me. No, 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 no. There is an order to this life. If you fall into the order of life, you will find great beauty. You will find there's an ebb and flow, and that there is something to this life that is beyond the conceptual idea of reality. But if you don't fall into this order, and the order is love, then you will never know the intelligence that exists in this universe that is beyond our own thinking. Most people are not much interested in that. They're only interested in getting what they want, when they want, as they want. So their whole life is based on the premise of trying to make life feel good. And that just isn't what life is all about. Life is about a certain quality of love. So you ask me, does God really have a plan? Human beings need plans. They're trying to make sense of this chaos called our life. We have made it chaos. We have made it ugly. We kill each other. We reward each other for terrible things we do. We go back and forth with what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad. It's all about a certain place inside of us where we go to live our life, to have comfort and security, to eat, drink, and be merry, as Jesus said. But it has nothing to do with life itself, the meaning of life. You're asking, is there sense to this life? Is there a plan? Do I see it? I do not see a plan, no. I do feel a vibration, and you do too, and everyone in the world does. This is why music is so very important to us. Because deep in the heart of music, deep in the heart of everything that is musical, is the rhythm of life, the throb of life. My meditations, Francis, are about coming to that throb. I actually put Tibetan tones in there that have to do with the ebb and flow of a human being's life and how it works as life itself. So there is this beautiful life in you, this beautiful causation of living. And if you hear the music, if you hear the throb, if you can move in the music and move in that throb, you're going to find something much better than a plan. You're going to find the rhythm. There is a rhythm to life, not a plan. There is a pulse to life, not a plan. Go with the pulse, the rhythm. Now, 9 out of 10 people in this world will not be able to do that. Maybe 1 out of 100,000, maybe, will be able to do it. I don't know. I find very few people much interested in it. People are here just to get through. Do what they do, try to have a good time before the axe comes down and they die. And then they come up with these ideas that everything has a plan to get you to heaven or put you to hell or whatever. There is a order, a rhythm to life. And if you can look at that order and that rhythm to life, you'll find something significant is constantly occurring every single moment of your living. Something significant. If you understand that significance, love will enfold you. If you don't understand that significance and your inner ears are deaf to it, then you're going to have some severe issues and problems. Let love live you. And forget about a plan and start looking at love. It is much more important than a plan. Thank you for listening, Francis, and I hope that helped. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste. Last question comes from Hank, and he lives in Salinas, so we had a lot of questions from around here. Can we manifest what we want and need? If so, how do you do it? If not, why? Hank, everybody is looking for some way to manifest something in this world. Everybody's looking for a way to bring money into their life and possessions because they want some kind of security to their life. They don't feel they have it, and they want some kind of security. But that security, of course, does not exist. And security is probably, in most people's idea, the freedom from any kind of suffering or pain or discomfort. You got to get over that. Hank, you asked me, can we manifest what we want and need? If you have come to a place inside you where you can let go of your fear, you can move mountains. If you have come to a place where fear rules you, and you don't understand it does by your unconscious mind, because that's where fear lurks in me, in my unconscious. If I go into this world through my unconscious living and my unconscious mind, and I simply assume that I understand everything, then I am doomed. I'm absolutely doomed. But if I live in kindness, and if I can live meditatively, if you can meditate a little bit and you start to see the ebb and flow of your life, all things are possible. It depends on where you are within yourself. If life is about the stuff, then you might manifest some interesting stuff, but you'll miss the meaning of your life. I have friends, Hank, who are very wealthy. And at the same time, their misery is in proportion to their wealth. And they tell me about it all the time. Would they dump their wealth not to be miserable? No. No, 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 no. But they're miserable. And they admit it. Life has become very complicated, very confusing, all-consuming around the idea of money. And that's probably what you're talking about here. Yes, you can live your life to manifest money if you want and stuff. Of course you can. But will that give you what you really came here for, what you're really all about? As Jesus said, what if you gain the whole world but lose yourself? What if you gain the whole world, everything you ever wanted, but you lose yourself? What do you do? Well, that is the difficulty. That is the question that is most difficult for people to answer. And of course, everybody wants the world and their spirituality. And frankly, you can have that. You really can. But most people just are too shallow to be able to do it. Too selfish, too narcissistic to be able to do it. So I say, Hank, let me give you just a brief little piece of advice. Live with what you have and be grateful for it. Keep the door open in the front of your life, in the back of your life. And let things come and go into and out of your life without you judging whether or not it was right or wrong, good or bad that that happened. Just let things come in and let things go out. Be grateful for every moment of your life. And one day, whether you are aware of it or not, you will move a mountain. You will come to a place in your life where something significant will happen, and you will move a mountain in your living. Much will happen. Much goodness, much love, much kindness. Thank you for listening, Hank, and please forgive me. Namaste. Well, you know the drill. If you have a comment or question, something I might be able to help you with, please feel free to come to the website at aspire.org. Up in the right-hand corner, when you get to the website, it says Contact. You may click on that, if you would, please. And you can email me directly from the website. And if you don't want me to use your name or anything, just tell me, and I'll be happy to not do that. And maybe you'll ask a question that will really help a lot of people. You just never know how generous that is. I have a workshop coming up next Saturday at the Carl Cherry Center, November 5th, from 9:30 to 3. We're going to be working on the intrinsic love. We're going to spend a day doing two meditations, some Gestalt therapy, getting my students ready for Mount Madonna, which will be coming up next month. We have a full house at Mount Madonna. We're going to have a wonderful, wonderful retreat. Very meaningful. It's about love. It is about making love the center point of your life and the meaning of your life. And then next year in January and all next year and the year after, we're going to be working on karma. It's going to be a very difficult subject to help people with, but you know, I'm here at the end of my life, too, and I'm looking at my living saying, you know, how do I want to go out with this? And this is the way that seems very important to me, to offer to you the teachings of karma as were given to me by Tibetan pulsing masters oh so many years ago in India. So many. Anyway, if you would like to join me for the workshop, the donation for it is only $50, and $40 of that is tax deductible, and the proceeds go to purchase more airtime of our radio program here and to support the Carl Cherry Center here in Carmel. They're located at 4th and Guadalupe here in Carmel, and they have a wonderful facility there for art and plays. And if you've never been there, I highly suggest you go and enjoy it. It is simply, I think, one of Carmel's most charming places, and denotes a sweetness that I just can't explain. Anyway, we have a wonderful time there. And if you would like some more information, please come to the website, again, at aspire.org. Go to the main page, and you will see up at the top, events. And if you go to workshops in Carmel, you can click on that. You can see pictures of previous workshops. And I would be honored and privileged to have you there. You can sign up for the workshop via the website. Or if you don't feel comfortable doing that, just give me a call at 831-622-8410. That's 831-622-8410. And I'll be more than happy to talk to you about it and see if this is something that is meaningful to you. And you can sign up there if you want. Whatever I can do to help you, it is there. Okay? So feel free to give me a call. 831-622-8410. Now, right now, I'm not in the office, so you're going to have to leave me your phone number. And I will get back to you this afternoon, I promise. I really will. Such is the way of a busy man, eh? It's Halloween weekend and the big parade down in Carmel. I just love it. I love the kids. I love the dogs. I mean, how can you not love kids and dogs dressed up and doing the funny things they do and the cute things they do? This is probably one of the most important moments in my life, just watching people be spontaneous, dress up with a sense of humor, and have a wonderful time. I hope you're there. And if you can't be, maybe next year or something. It's really spectacular. I'm out of here. I'll be back on the air tomorrow morning at 9:04. I hope you will join me. And please forgive me, eh? Namaste.